following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Welcome, everybody, to another live episode of The Radio Dan Show. Starring Dan Delgado. And sidekick, intern Jessica. Coming at you live on Talk Radio X. From the Two Tone Studios. Brooke Shields says, nothing comes between me and my milk.
And my milk? Are you kidding me? Sometimes I wish you just wouldn't show me these things, Jessica. Anyway, hello everybody out there. My name is Dan Delgado, and this is the Radio Dan Show. This is in roughly an hour of movie, television, and other such important things in life kind of talk show. I'm sitting here, as always, with the wonderful and fantastic intern, Jessica.
You're such a liar. You don't think I'm wonderful and fantastic. You are just being evil to me, and I'm going to sell you out.
That is absolutely inaccurate.
You call me a slut.
What?
And you punched me in my arm.
I gave you a punch? No, that's ridiculous.
And then you stubbed my toe.
What did I stub it into?
Into your chair.
I guess it's possible.
It still hurts.
If it still hurt, and I know you, you'd really be just like grinding in pain, writhing in pain, I should say.
I remember the first time your child stubbed her toe.
Oh, I remember
or
that.
Or at least the first time I remember seeing it or remember, you know, like it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You and her were in another room and I was, I guess, on the computer or something. All of a sudden I hear her screaming, crying, bloody murder. She must be like, what, 3 or 4 at the time?
Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
And I come running in and you are literally like looking down at her kind of laughing and she's like writhing in pain. I'm like, what happened? And you look at me and you go, she stubbed her toe. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is appropriate.
Nothing you can do about that.
This scene is appropriate. Because
yes.
Before that, I was like, what? All right, she is writhing in pain, and you're, like, smiling. What the heck?
I know, yeah. I guess that makes me seem like just an evil, evil man that I'm sitting there smiling while she's crying or screaming her head off.
Yes, I think it's funny that Steve Pack, my dad, has a story kind of like that, only in public, because I had bit my tongue as a little girl and did the same thing, and he was like, oh, what can I do? And everybody was looking at him all evil.
Yeah, they probably thought that he was smacking you around or something, right? That's not such a good story for him.
I know.
All right, let's see. We have a lot to go over today on the program. We have a guest tonight, which is a rarity in itself, isn't it? We don't have a lot of guests.
No, we don't get a lot of guests.
No, we don't. A lot of people. But well, you know, it's not for lack of trying. We go ahead and we ask people, and then they say
no,
and then we move on to something else.
Well, you know, it's been a huge couple of weeks because we talked to Jay Cronley, writer of screenplays and books galore, and also.
And a horse racing prognosticator?
Writer.
he writes two columns, one for Tulsa World.
Excuse me.
Tulsa World newspaper. You can read it at TulsaWorld.com. Also, he writes a horse racing one on ESPN.com.
Also,
but the one for Tulsa World is just like general stuff, and it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
And you know what he is?
What?
The Radio Dan Show favorite. He's a Radio Dan Show favorite, I should
He's,
say.
I believe, our only returning guest so far.
That's true. We should get Eddie Deason back on the show.
Sure.
He was adorable.
He certainly was. Well, tonight we're going to be having on, her name is Jennifer, I want to make sure I'm saying this name right, Gert, G-E-R-H-T, Jennifer Gert. Does that sound right to you?
Jenny from the block?
Like, if that H wasn't there, it would be Gert, and there would be no question about it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But that H is throwing me off. Anyway, if you saw Confessions of a Superhero, she was the person who was, she was Wonder Woman in Confessions of a Superhero.
Yes, and it's a documentary, so she really does play Superwoman on the Chinese theater. What is it, Grauman's
Chinese theater.
So if you're out in Hollywood and you see Miss Wonder Woman, go take a picture with her.
Uh-huh.
And please, please, yes, tipping.
Tipping is not a city in China.
Gratuity is not included in the bill, so please fork it over.
Mm. Jessica, you and I recently just saw a movie. We saw Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, how come we didn't talk about that last night?
I don't know. We haven't discussed it at all. We saw it on Sunday.
That's how forgettable it is.
Yeah. I was highly looking forward to it, and I'll say about the first 40 minutes of the movie I really enjoyed, and then everything else after that got really goofy and really ridiculous.
Can we mention just one major goofy thing?
I'll
just throw it out there.
Well, you can go ahead and throw out anything you want. How about that?
Okay.
Uh-huh.
At one point,
yes.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yes.
Swinging around on vines like Tarzan.
And it's really out of the blue that happens,
yes,
too.
Yes, and monkeys all around with him, taking his side, beating up bad guys. And that's all I'm going to tell you about the movie.
Okay. You don't want to mention, I don't know. Well, look, Indiana Jones survives a...
Sunshine.
What are you doing?
It's a new day.
What are you doing?
I'm giving you background music so you can tell your story and have there be an interesting little something playing.
I didn't sing anything while you were telling your little story.
I know. That's how inconsiderate you are.
At one point, Indiana Jones is able to survive a nuclear blast.
You can't give away everything.
No, I certainly... No. The name of the show is Radio Dan. I'll give away anything I want to. This is early on in the film. It doesn't matter. Did you think he was going to die?
Well, no.
Like 20 minutes into the movie?
No, but I didn't think that... all right, this is what I thought would happen.
Okay.
It would be a joke. Like, it really wouldn't happen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Or a malfunction.
Right, yeah. He survives a nuclear blast by hiding in a lead-based refrigerator. I know, it's so ridiculous. It just strips you up, doesn't it? There's nothing you can... Yes, he climbs into a fridge, closes the door... The bomb goes off, and I'm talking like the bomb.
The age bomb, people.
And he gets out, and he's pretty much okay.
I like how they gave the people out in the test, the mannequins in the test town.
Right.
I like how they gave them cable.
Oh, they gave them cable. Oh, well, they were watching regular television.
Yeah.
I don't think cable existed in 1957, honey.
Oh, so...
It was just regular TV. Yeah, that's true. Why was the television on? That's true. You know, he goes to wash his hands in the sink, and there's no water
because
there's no plumbing. But the sprinklers outside.
I didn't notice that, Dan.
Uh-huh. Sprinklers outside. Think about that.
Did you read that somewhere?
Maybe.
That's too clever.
Maybe I did.
I was like, wait a minute. That's a little bit too clever for the Radio Dan.
Well, here's what I wanted
and,
to...
And we didn't discuss it, too, you know, like that. Well, if you didn't notice that right after the movie,
uh-huh.
Then you didn't notice it at all.
Listen, here's why I'm bringing this up. I'm bringing up Indiana Jones tonight for a particular reason. Everyone, all the film geeks, if you've been following this film, it's been in production forever and ever. It's gone through a number of people have at least taken a look at this screenplay. M. Night Shyamalan, Tom Stoppard...
all very impressive names.
And Frank Darabont. Frank Darabont's probably the most notable one because he turned in a draft that Spielberg liked and I believe Harrison Ford liked, but George Lucas didn't like it. And there were certain elements of his script that I know Spielberg wasn't too crazy about. So they ended up nixing it. And Darabont was pissed because it took him like 2 years to write it.
Wow. Yeah. That would be. But yeah, so like, think he got paid for it, though?
I don't know. I don't know what his compensation was for his time. I'm sure he must have gotten something. But, you know, he directed that movie, The Mist, that was out last year. So when it was coming out, you know, people were asking him about the Indiana Jones script, and he was, you know, not avoiding it. You know, he was saying, yeah, I'm pretty pissed off about this. Now, interesting. Ooh. Okay, here's the interesting thing that happened today. And when I say today, I mean, like, within the last hour or so.
Whoa.
Okay. Frank Darabont's script, which is entitled Indiana Jones and the City of God, or City of the Gods. It's sitting right here on my computer screen, Jessica.
Is that right?
That's right. Jones and the City of the Gods.
Story by George Lucas. So it's because the original
basis of the story, whatever the framework is that they, I guess they probably had discussed it somewhere. Well, anyway, I'll have some good reading because this thing's a big 140 pages. So, yeah.
Wow, you should, you know what? Print that at work tomorrow.
What?
I'll read it too.
You'll read it too? Okay. Yeah. This could
Oh,
be
they have Yuri!
Who's Yuri?
Yuri is his friend in, like, you know, Run. Run!
Oh my god, that's Sala, sweetheart.
Ah!
Wow, yeah, you're...
Darn, do you think he's in there?
I have no idea.
So why does that look like it was typed on, like, an old-fashioned typewriter and then, like, scanned into...
Well, it was probably printed and then scanned in, and maybe that's why it looks this way. I mean, who knows?
That looks like a... Who uses that font, though?
This font?
Yeah.
Every screenwriter uses Courier, and they use font size number 12. That is standard.
Is that Courier?
That is Courier.
Oh, because it looks like old school.
Like it looks like a typewriter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing maybe that's why, because you know, old fogies in Hollywood, they need to continue to have that same look. Why can't you print in Arial or something else that's a little bit prettier?
Exactly.
I have absolutely no idea, but I know this. Anyone, you know, any hack script that I ever worked on, Road to Atlantic City, which is being still hotly debated for. Among many producers, right as we speak, printed out on Courier size number 12.
Oh, is that right?
Yep, looks just like this. So, yeah, I don't know who Yuri is, Jessica, but he's in a lot of this script. Oh, actually, no, I'm only on page 17. Wow, there's a lot going on here. So, anyway, if you want to go ahead and do a search for Indiana Jones and the City of the Gods, you could get your own version of the rejected Frank Darabont. Now, here's the thing. People are going to read this, and they're going to say, wow, this is so much better. Why didn't they go with this? I mean, people are going to like it automatically because diehard fans and fanboys already don't like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
So let me ask you something. You knew that, though, going into this, right?
I knew what?
That fanboys didn't like...
Weren't going to like before I had seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been out for...
Yes.
So were you like, I don't believe it, they're just too picky?
I was a little bit on the fence from what I had heard about it. From some of the things... Because I had heard some of the things, you know, some of the key plot things.
You did?
Just like
did you
the
know,
basics.
Like, it was like...
Yes.
Were you like, what?
And yes, I was like, what?
If
what are you talking about?
If you told me that going into it, I would have been like, okay, yes, I'm not going to look. Not that I wasn't going to like it, but at least I would have expected
it. See, but you enjoyed it more than I did, I thought. At least upon us leaving,
I
got that impression.
Listen, movies have... I'm like a bad movie seer.
You're a bad movie seer.
Yes.
Because you have cataracts.
Why. No.
Okay.
Because I am very forgetful.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And if I think a movie is... now, there's... All right, we'll use a 1 to 5 rating.
Okay, use a 1 to 5 rating, sure.
No, we'll use a 1 to 3 rating, okay?
All right, go ahead. Use a 1 to 3 rating.
Let's say a movie is mediocre.
Okay.
Not amazing and not bad. Not horrible, okay?
It's mediocre.
If it's literally a 2.
Yes.
Not a 1, not a 3.
Right.
It'll always pretty much stay... Excuse me. You know, depending on who I'm talking with and whether I want to be devil's advocate or not, I will either hate it or love it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right, but when we first walked out of the movie, you were like, no, it was fun.
It was fun. Well, in other words, I would put that as a 3. Like, I liked it pretty good for a mediocre film, right?
Yeah, okay. I would Wait. 3 out of 5?
No.
3 out of 4?
Yeah, 3 out of 5.
Okay, that's what I would give it to.
Yes.
Because I didn't, like, there was a good stretch of the movie that I thought was genuinely very good. And everything else, well, you know, I mean, geez, at least I got to see Indiana Jones on the screen, so.
Well, yeah, so.
I'll be honest with you, I probably would see it again. Just cause. Just cause, it's maybe the last go-round with one of my favorite movie characters, and I'm a big nerd.
Oh, okay, so you're just like, I love seeing him up there.
Yes, which is really goofy, by the way. All right, let's move on, shall we? I mean, we can pick this up later if we like. But, why wait when you have a fantastic guest like Jennifer Gert waiting on deck? Right, Jessica?
We'll see.
What does that mean?
For this cat and pony show, she's probably like gone to the store to get some groceries.
Everybody goes to the store and gets groceries when they know that we're calling. I hate to break that to you, Jessica. You want some dialing music for this?
Sure.
There we go. Calling Jennifer Gert, Wonder Woman in the Confessions of a Superhero movie. Very attractive young lady.
Gorgeous.
Coming from a small town out to Hollywood. You can get her to pose for a picture for you. You don't have to tip, but it's very nice if you do.
It's preferred to tip.
It's preferred to tip, yes. One of them would get pissy if you didn't. Was it Batman?
Batman.
Would, yeah, he'd be like, yeah, by the way, I work for tips.
Well, he'd hold his, like, wad of money up.
It's really funny.
That was a wrong number, Dan.
Yeah, perhaps that was a wrong number. All right, let me go ahead and check the number that I have. I must have just typed it in wrong.
Probably you did.
Wow, that's embarrassing. That's like some dude. What a dope, huh? All right, let me see. Is that right?
Doot, 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 doot. I can already see it's wrong.
Yeah, it's totally wrong.
You totally switched the last two numbers, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Wow, you're such a... Well, I'm telling her about this.
No, don't go ahead and... Don't do that to me. Why would you do that to me? Why would you throw me out? Yeah, by the way, we should still have the dialing music, right? I mean, geez.
I wish it wasn't as...
As what?
As gristly as it is.
Actually, I think the gristly... Once, you know what? Jeez. I did it again. I think the gristly...
You did it again?
Well, I should say I misdialed again. I think the gristly is kind of what makes that thing cool.
We need to get our producer back.
That's where the funk is, you know what I'm saying? It's in the gristle.
That's right. You know, I made this drop.
I know!
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached.
Oh, this is one of those where they play their own music for you.
We already have dialing music.
Hello, Jen?
Hey.
Hey, everybody. Jennifer, how do you say your last name? Because I think I've been butchering it.
You say it Winger.
Winger?
Yeah, during the documentary, I was Jennifer Garrett. Let me step out. During the filming of the documentary, my name was Jennifer Garrett.
Okay, well then I've been saying a completely wrong name altogether. By the way, welcome to the Radio Dan Show. I'm here with my sidekick and lovely co-host, Jessica. Jessica, say hi to Jennifer.
Hello, Wonder Woman.
Hello, Jessica, the lovely, lovely. How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm good. Just finished lunch.
Oh, yeah, I forget that it's all, like, early over by you.
Yeah, she's 3 hours behind us over there.
Are
you working today, by the way?
Yeah, I was working. But I'm on lunch right now, so it's all good.
Okay, good. I'd hate to be interrupting you out there. So, Jennifer, I got some questions for you here. How was it that you were approached? I mean, there's a lot of people that I've been to Grauman's one time in my life, and I saw a lot of people out there in the costumes walking around. What made them, the producers of the film, Confessions of a Superhero, what do you think made them choose you for this?
Matt Ogan, the director, was after shooting a commercial for Ping, the golf company, the golf ball company, and he started talking to Chris Dennis, Superman. Mm-hmm. And it just happened to be, you know, we were the ones that were approached because we were friends with Superman, and he filmed 5 of us, and 4 of us made the cut. Spider-Man was cut out.
Oh, so there was a fifth character from the movie.
Okay, so how did Spider-Man take the news of being cut out?
He didn't really care. Just like he's older. He's like, you know, he's like 50.
Oh,
because that's great. Because I would care. How would you feel if you had been cut out, Jen?
He has bigger things to think about. You know, he's getting ready. He's a professional golfer, and he's getting ready for the senior tour. He's going to start training for that whole deal, so he didn't really care. I mean, he came to the premiere, and, like, he was still very supportive. He was just like, I'm not enough drama, and that's probably a good thing.
True. You know what? I have a big question for you. Now, I'm a big documentary watcher. I like documentaries, and I'm going to tell you a quick story. I noticed that this movie was released on DVD. I went out to Blockbuster to specifically get it. It was not there. They didn't have it, couldn't order it or anything. I was very upset by it. Went online, ordered Netflix just so I can get this movie, just so I can watch your movie.
Wow.
Yeah. So, So when I got it and I watched it, it was very awesome to me. You know, documentaries sometimes have a tendency of portraying things incorrectly, which, you know, I do realize. I don't always take a definite, you know, filmmaker's point of view and keep it that way. Do you think that you were accurately, you know, portrayed in the movie and everything?
In a way, yeah, totally. I mean, I was just natural and just honest, but they cut out a bit, like, I do improv comedy, and it didn't fit the mood of my scene, so they had me going to, like, regular auditions, and I was like, I'm not really, like, I don't consider myself, like, an actress as much as I am a comedian, and they came and filmed me doing stand-up, they came and filmed me doing, you know, some sketch and stuff like that, and they cut that entirely out.
Oh, so,
I mean, that was a little bit sucky, but I understand that it wouldn't have made as much sense for the film. Like, watch her. She's so happy. She's joking on stage, and she goes home and fights with her mean husband. So.
Well, you know what? That whole story about you, I think you were, like, dating your husband for a couple, well, your husband at the time, I don't know if you're still together now,
yeah.
But you were dating for, like, a couple weeks, and then you got married, and that was, like, you let them show your home video and stuff. That was really, really cool and very cool of you.
Well, thank you. I mean, like I said, the thing that most excited me about doing this documentary is when you go through life, a lot of times you're just going through the motions. And, like, I was able to actually sit down and witness, you know, parts of my life that I wouldn't have even had my eyes open to if it hadn't happened. Like, in the documentary, you see me and my mom telling the same story at the same time. The first time I watched that, I was hysterical crying.
Aww.
Like, it was a big emotional thing for me to hear my mom talking about it in the same way that I looked at it. And, like, I know how she gets me, but it's like seeing it on screen how she gets me. It was really touching.
That's
very
cool.
Cool.
Yeah, that was a very, you know, I remember thinking, you know, part of the documentary, seeing the parents or seeing the significant others was going to be something. And when they were talking to your mom and she's like, yep, just, you know what, we bought her a plane ticket and we shipped her out there and said good luck. I was like, you go, Mom!
Yeah, she's pretty ballsy, my mom. you know, she said in her life she didn't take those chances, and she said she doesn't want me to not live out everything that I want to live out in this life because you only go around once.
So let me ask you one more thing. Well, not one more thing. Another thing.
Yes, not one more thing.
I know. has anything changed now? I mean, I hate to say, listen, you guys out there doing what you're doing and, you know, working on tips, and that probably even sounds a little bit worse than it is because, you know, you guys are out there with a lot of tourists and stuff. It's a, you know, it's nothing, I don't know. It's a very interesting job, I should say. Has that changed for you, or are you still doing it?
I still do it in the summer. I don't do it as much throughout the entire year. But I started actually booking some, you know, pretty legit gigs. I was on My Name Is Earl. And I've done Mind Dementia since then, and I had a under five on Mad TV, and I, you know, we still do Jimmy Kimmel, and, you know, I've got my improv group together, and we're doing web series stuff now. So I'm, you know, actually doing more work focusing on comedy, what I love. So that's really helpful. And my name is Earl. The director, or the executive producer, saw the documentary and said, called the director, Matt Ogans, and said, hey, we want to bring Wonder Woman in. And that's how I got to audition. And Joe McQueen both went in and auditioned. Joe McQueen, you know, he did good. You know, he didn't book it, but I, you know, it rocked my face off to be able to go in and audition. I had a blast, and they pissed me, and I was so excited.
So,
at least.
So were you, is this something for next season, or were you already on it, or?
Yeah, I was on it. If you go to NBC.com, you can watch the episode. It's called Killer Ball.
Awesome.
I'm the woman who makes this Jason Lee, and then I, you know, I have two scenes. One with Jason Lee macing him in the car, and then at the end of the episode, I pick up Jason Lee's neighbor.
That's so awesome. I love Jason Lee. You know what? I love Jason Lee because he's a skateboarder, and I was a skateboard girl growing up.
Oh, brother. That again. Yeah. That again.
I thought you were going to say because he's a Scientologist.
I was gonna bring that up. Because she loves the Scientology over here.
No, I don't love the Scientology.
All right, Jen. Here's the real question. Going into this, you know, I was wondering. It was like, wow, they're going to have a Wonder Woman. I can only imagine what the Wonder Woman is going to look like. And then I saw you, and like, wow, she's gorgeous. You've got to be kidding me. So,
thank you.
So since this film has come out, you know, do you have, like, people, do you have any guys walking up to you who has seen you on the film? Hey, I came here. I saw your movie. How are you? You want to go get lunch? Do you have that happening?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very weird thing. It's like I always said growing up, because when I was a little kid, I wanted to be in the entertainment industry. Like I always said, and I always told my mom, if I ever get to be famous, even a little bit, I'm going to answer every fan mail. I'm going to talk to everyone. I'm going to be so good to my fans. And then now, like, I got my Wonder Woman MySpace, and it's just like, it's gotten a little bit ridiculous for me because I'm not used to it. And they send the weirdest stuff. Like, there's this guy who says he's Adolf Hitler, and he's my number one villain, and I'm his number one hero. And he, like, always, like, sends me messages complimenting my breasts and complimenting eyes and then complimenting, like, my elbows. Like, he gets really specific. And my friends are all like, that's the guy who's going to cut you up. He's going to kill you. He's going to come to America and cut you up because he lives in Germany.
Wait a minute.
That's so horrible.
Jen, you're going to tell me you're not attracted to Adolf Hitler? Come on. What a catch.
I know. Sparkling personality. Yeah.
That's just bizarre.
He's very controlling, I've heard, though.
I know. I mean, it's so weird. And, you know, and there are people who live in the Hollywood area and they're like, hey, I think that the guy in the movie was a jerk to you. I would be the perfect guy for you. Let me tell you why. And they give me, like, this whole breakdown of their life story. I'm like, thank you. You know, I don't date the internet, but I appreciate the offer.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a lot harder nowadays, I would assume, with MySpace and email and stuff. It's so much easier for anybody to just write a letter and just send it as opposed to actually taking the time as being a fan and writing a letter and, like, mailing it out. So, unfortunately, you're a victim. You're a victim of technology.
Yay.
I know. Oh, poor me. Poor me that people like me.
Okay,
just
so
kidding.
Jen, I got another one here for you. Why Wonder Woman?
Well, whenever I was a little tiny girl sitting on the living room carpet, looking at the TV, glued to it, the 1-800 contact lens commercial came on, and I had to know who that woman was because, you know, when you're a kid, you think you can grow up and actually be another person.
Yeah.
And I told my mommy I wanted to grow up to be her. And it was Linda Carter. And she said, you know who that is? That's Wonder Woman. And I have been glued ever since.
Well, I tell you what, as Dan was asking that question, I said, what are you talking about? She's like a Linda Carter, almost, you know, cousin.
Thank you. And, you know, it's so funny. I think it's a really strange thing how, like, one of my friends is like, she's loved Jessica Rabbit since she was a kid, and she looks kind of like Jessica Rabbit. I think that, like, that passion, like, gets instilled in you, mm-hmm. and you, like, force yourself to look more like that person. Like, that sounds weird, but I really think that I loved her so much, and every dad is focused.
Are you kidding?
On looking more like Wonder Woman.
You know
I'm
that.
I'm not kidding.
You know how people end up looking like their pets? Don't you ever notice that?
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. I know, it's this weird Hollywood thing, but I believe in The Secret a lot. Like, I believe that the power of our minds is ridiculous. And since I was a kid, I just thought, Wonder Woman, you know what I mean? And, you know,
and
it came
here,
to be.
And here you are. But, you know what, all right, I have a question. Yeah. And I don't know if it's evil or not.
Oh,
but,
boy.
But I have to ask.
I like the evil one.
You like the evil one? Okay. Tell us a little bit about...
My favorite?
Tell us a little bit about Crazy Batman.
they certainly did make Batman look crazy in that movie, yes.
Cuckoo bananas.
Yes.
He's crazy. He's a nutcase. I like him, though. He's the most exciting out of all of us because you never know what's going to happen. One time we were out on the boulevard together, and it was, you know, me and him working. Because you always do better if you work in groups, like two people. Because it's like, cut in the middle, and it's something for each or whatever. It's just easier. We're working together. This guy doesn't tip, and you don't have to tip. It's mandatory. And they go to walk away. Well, he starts freaking out. Oh, you clown. You can't give a dollar. Thanks. I told you it's your tip. Freaking out. So I went over there and I said, listen, you know, he's having a hard time. You know, he wrecked his van, and he's got crap going on in his life. If you could, you know, just give him a buck. I don't care. You can stiff me. I don't care because karma comes around and I make more money in the end because of people like you. But if you would, just go over and give Batman a dollar. And so he's like, oh, okay. Like, I just went and I was really sweet about it. And he went to get out the dollar. And right as he was pulling the dollar out, Batman came over and screamed, you fucking idiot. Oh, sorry. I probably can't say that.
No,
you fucking idiot.
No, it's the internet. You can say what you want.
Okay. He said, you can't give me a dollar. I don't want your dollar. Put it in your ass. It's screaming and freaking out. So I go to just put my hand on him, like, Max, calm down. He smacks my hand and, like, pushes it away. And I'm like, okay, screw it. Get arrested again. I don't care.
Again.
Like, he gets arrested all the time. Like, screaming at that guy, put this dollar back away. Like, okay, never mind. Just walks away. Somebody can get killed.
So is he still out there? Because at the end of the documentary, they had him, like, as a security guard on a movie set.
Yeah, because he's no longer allowed in that area code because he's been arrested so many times.
Oh, no kidding. Batman
he's not
is...
allowed there until 2010.
Wow. Barred from the street. Who's going to clean up Gotham now?
There's two new Batman there, one of them which is extremely overweight, and one of which is just XX. So can't we find a happy medium, people?
Oh, that's too funny.
Well, I would probably want a picture with the fat Batman.
I was thinking the same thing.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, at least that's kind of funny.
And he's not all around fat. He's like the fun fat, like Homer Simpson fat, like just a big stomach. So it's exciting.
All right, so what about the others? How's the Hulk doing? Do you still see him out there?
Yeah, he's still out there all the time. He's lost a lot of his spirit. Like, I try to talk to him and cheer him up, but he's getting down in the dumps because, I mean, things just aren't going the way he wants them to go. But, you know, here's the thing. I could be sitting in a dump somewhere crying about how things aren't going well for me, but instead I got up and took classes. You know what I mean? Like, I go to Groundlings.
Right.
The School of Improv, Will, and all those cats. Like, I save my money. And I invest it towards my career. So, I mean, it's all about investments. You know, you can't just sit and feel sorry. You have to work. And he keeps telling me how long he's been in the game. I don't know how long he's been in the game. But, you know, but he's a sweetheart. And he just gets caught up in negativity. And that's a shame. But, I mean, what do you do?
Well, I tell you what. My heart was like, I mean, I loved all of you guys, really. Like, just couldn't get enough of you. But... for the Hulk, and I forget his name, Joseph, right?
Yeah, Joe McQueen.
My heart just went out to
him. He calls himself that.
He calls himself what?
He talks about himself in third person ever since the documentary. He's Joe McQueen now.
Oh, is that right?
Joe McQueen can't do this. Joe McQueen is the Hulk. Joe McQueen who the audience would want to see. Joe McQueen. He went off one day and was saying all that, and we're all sitting there on the boulevard like, is he going to be okay? Is he having a nervous breakdown? But, I mean, granted, he's still my friend. I still adore him, but I know he's having a lot of problems.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have to say, though, you guys have, you know, like I said, it's a job, you know? You guys are doing just what, you know, you go to, like, a park, like Universal Studios or something, you've got characters walking around there, you know, they're doing the same thing, probably not making anywhere near what you guys make, actually.
Right. They make, I actually have a friend who does Spider-Man at Universal, and he gets so upset when I tell him how much money I make, but, like, it's not his costume, the costume belongs to them.
I was going to say.
Huh?
I said, I was going to say, you know what? You're going to outdraw any Spider-Man anywhere, darling. Come on. I see you walking up. I'd pull out dollars. How you doing?
Listen to you.
What? I'm just saying. You've seen her. She's gorgeous.
I you know what? I tell you what. The part where they had you in the audition and you were saying, oh, someone said I was overweight and your agent was like, well, this is not really a therapist situation. I was like, I don't know what she's talking about. She's gorgeous. Who does she think she is to say that she's overweight? And if anybody else ever tells her that, she better call me.
Oh, you're so sweet. But, I mean, it's hard out here because everybody's, like, anorexic.
Yeah.
And since the documentary, I lost 13 pounds. But I'm not going to go nuts. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm just,
right.
You know, trying to get healthier, but then it's like I go to, you know, networking events or whatever, and everybody's doing coke, and I'm like, you know what? No, thank you.
Well,
they're like, do you party? It's the code. Do you party? I'm like, no, I don't think I party. I don't think I party like you party.
All of a sudden, you're in an after-school special. Hey, you want to party?
I know. That's what it feels like to me every time. I'm just like, I would just rather not go down that road. And I mean, and since then, I get my spaces from people who say, oh, I'm an executive producer, and I saw you, and I want to help you. If you want, we'll meet for drinks at blah, blah, blah bar. And I'm like, you know.
I don't think producers.
I just don't want to deal with it.
Well, I don't think producers are, like, contacting you through MySpace, right? Like, don't you have the right way to contact?
I know. I'm telling you. It's hard, and it's so ridiculous that you have to deal with stuff like that, but, you know, that's what we bargain for when we move out here. When I got on the plane, it's not like sweet Maynardville, Tennessee. People don't have your best interest at heart, and I, you know, learned that really quick.
All right. Well, Jennifer, just tell me, it's all worth it, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's totally worth it. Like, here's the thing. Yesterday I was going to an audition. I went to my first guest star audition
okay.
for iCarly, the Nickelodeon show.
Oh, I watched that with my daughter.
And I was just so happy, and I did well, and it just, you know, just depends on what color hair they want. But on my way back home, I popped my tire. It just blows up, and I'm sitting on the side of the freeway like, oh, my God, and I started crying. And I stopped and said, you know what? I'm auditioning in L.A. This is my dream. I'm not going to cry and get all messed up over a busted tire. Call AAA and it's all good. Like, little things, like, knock you off course and you forget that you're where you wanted to be when you were 5 years old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That is so true. I can totally, totally see that point of view. That's so great, Jennifer.
That is great. Jennifer, thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you. This is awesome. Thank you.
We'll have to check in with you again, find out what you're up to, all right?
Okay, sounds great. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. We'll talk to you. Thank you, Jennifer.
Good luck on all your auditions.
Thank you very much.
That was Jennifer. Jennifer, what's her name? What's her last name?
I don't remember because she's
Garrett.
Married now.
I know. I still have Garrett in my head.
How about this? She's
Winger. No, Jennifer Winger.
Oh, yes, because I remember thinking, did she just say Deborah Winger?
No, she said...
Dan, did you call the wrong number?
Mm. Well,
did you somehow, instead of getting Wonder Woman, you got Deborah Winger?
How many wrong numbers am I going to call?
Oh, I forgot to tell her about that.
Tell her about what?
You called the wrong number.
We don't need to do that. We need to encourage everyone to know what an idiot I am.
That would have been...
Look, there's enough people who know how much of an idiot. Let's not let the hot babes that we have on the show in on that as well.
She is totally hot. And you want to know something? She better not lose any more than that 13 pounds.
13 pounds sounds about right.
No,
I'm just saying it doesn't sound like it's too much. You know what I mean? It's not like
she... I know, like if she was
wasn't...
She was 30 pounds. I would have
right.
been like, no.
Right.
No, unacceptable.
I'm saying she's not like she was scrawny, you know? So not that... Like if you would have said to me, Dan, do you think she just lose 13 pounds? I would say, no. But, you know, I could see her losing 13 pounds and still looking very good.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay.
I can agree.
All right. Very good. Well,
that's horrible. We're sitting here talking about her weight.
You know what would make it better, Jessica?
What?
This. All right. So let's talk about her weight. So, I don't know. I just like the funk loop. Can I just keep that on in the background for a minute?
No.
All right.
I sing in the background sometimes.
Oh, that's right, and that's why we have. So pretty soon that's going to be coming up. Jessica, you know the Olympics are coming up in Beijing. I think in August, the Summer Olympics, the ones that you
the
don't...
The ones I'm not interested in.
Yes, I'm not all that interested in them as well, as a matter of fact. I do prefer the Winter
Although
Olympics.
Although everybody else is.
We're totally on the minority in liking the Winter Olympics more than the Summer Olympics, okay?
Everybody likes the flipping... The gymnastics, that's summer, right?
Yeah, everybody likes the gymnastics. I don't know, does everybody like the decathlon and they like the...
Well, running.
Running, all the running ones.
What's the one that's like...
The discus.
Shooting and running and swimming and...
All right. You're thinking... Well, first of all...
Mountain biking.
No. Wait. You're thinking of the one that has shooting in it?
Yes.
That is in the winter. That's a skiing one. That's the... Ah, crap. I forget what that is, but that's a winter one.
Oh, it is winter?
Yeah, where you ski. It's like you cross-country ski, and then you stop and shoot at things. It doesn't make any
sense.
Then
you cross-country ski, like, twice the length, and then you shoot some more.
Yeah, I don't understand
and then
it
you
at
shoot
all.
Heroin. Shoot up heroin.
No, I don't think you have to do that. I would. What do you think? Wouldn't steroids be more fitting for that? Jessica, according to Time magazine, there are various organizational problems occurring that could lead to the Olympics... not being broadcast on television.
How is that possible?
Well, you know, part of the problem is that it's being done in China this year, and, you know, China's pretty tight on all their policies. They don't even let, you know, Anna Britt's poor wife get out without making him go through all kinds of hell. Well,
that's true. But you know what? I think that they would... I think if you put, like... one hand letting Antebert's wife Twinkle come to the country,
right.
Or B, showing the Olympics on television, I think that they'd say, listen, Twinkle, you're going to have to wait another couple months.
You know what? I bet you they flip a coin on it. That's what I think.
Yeah.
A series of unworkable conditions are being created for networks, including limits on time coverage in Tiananmen Square, and allegations that freight shipments of TV broadcasting equipment are being held up in Chinese ports. The 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing are scheduled to begin on August 8th. According to the minutes of a May 29th meeting, producers which have been used by broadcasters in other Olympics are conflicting with China's authoritarian government.
Let me ask you something. Does that mean that they can say, listen, we're not going to do it in Beijing. We're going to do it over in France now because you're being such
a
douchebag.
No. Here's what it is, okay? It's seems like since things aren't going smoothly for the American networks, the networks are going to say, you know what? Screw this because you're going to screw up all of our timetables. We're just going to walk away. Now, I don't know because NBC has got the lock on the Olympics. They've had it since 92. They went ahead and spent billions of dollars on the damn Olympics. Really, just not a good move. But I don't know what would happen to them in that situation, you know what I mean? I mean, this is, I believe, something that would be unprecedented because it's not like, you know, it's an American boycott, although that's a possibility. It's not like that. It's like, hey, look, we can't get our equipment through. We can't get our timetable set up. We can't get our producers in there and to film where we want to film and do the things that we want to do, you know? They're finding out that when you go to a place like China, you know, it's not Hollywood USA or it's not everywhere else in the world where, you know, you go ahead and you flash your NBC ID badge and everyone gets all excited. In China, they're like, no.
You're treated just like everybody else.
You're treated just like everybody else, like crap. Actually, you're treated worse. You're on television. What's worse than that? Some plans are months behind schedules, which could force broadcasters to compromise coverage plans. The Chinese are very concerned about something going wrong, and they are in Olympic gridlock, says John Barton, director of sport for the Asia-Pacific Broadcasting Union, which represents broadcasters in 57 different countries. This is the greatest moment in their sporting history, Barton said.
You're totally boring me. I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
Well, I'm sure somebody is having an interest in this story.
No, I don't think it's possible, because not only is the story boring, but the way you're reading it is so boring. I was wandering for a minute, and then I wandered back, and I said, oh, my God, just shoot me in the face. What is he saying?
All right, well, I got one more sentence, and then you can wake up, okay?
All right.
He goes on to say, they built a stage on which they want to perform, but they are rather queasy about how it should be shown.
It's too long.
You know what's too long? The leash that I give you on this show. That's what's too long.
Are you done with that story?
Yes, I'm done with that story.
All right, let's move on.
All right. Jazzy, how much did you like Iron Man?
I liked Iron Man a lot.
All right, the 100-star scale. We haven't had that come around in quite some time.
But you know what? I'd have to categorize it as a comic book movie.
No, it's a movie. That's
bogus. No. A regular movie, I have to give it like a 79, which is pretty good. But as a comic book movie, it gets like a 95.
I don't have different scales like that. It
well,
doesn't make
you're
any
gonna
friggin'
have to,
sense.
You know what? You're coming to my country, buddy.
Oh,
right?
I see. Yes.
And you do it how I do it here. I'm like China.
Yes, I know how Jessica does things. I'm very well aware of how that works. That's fine.
So as a comic book movie, like 95.
Okay.
As a regular movie, like 79, which is still really good.
All right. Well, you know, Marvel went ahead right after it came out and made, you know, a bazillion dollars. They set all these timetables up for all of the future films, right?
Okay.
Remember, we talked about that schedule.
Uh-huh.
Iron Man 2 is 2010, and then Thor, and then in 2011 is going to be the Captain America movie and the Avengers film. Okay?
Well,
now, you would think that 2010, summer 2010, isn't that far away. I mean, it's 2 years from now, but you've got to get going if you're going to be making a sequel.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No. You need 2 years to make a movie, Dan?
All right.
No.
A movie like this?
What a movie like this?
Well, how often do... All right, listen. You just don't grasp.
You don't grasp it. You know what? I've read Carver's story.
Why don't you hush and let me make my point before you start opening your big fat yap?
Okay.
Holy crap. You know Jon Favreau, who directed Iron Man.
I love Jon Favreau,
right.
Yes.
Here's what he has said about the timetable, okay?
All right.
I'm concerned, however, about the announcement of the release date of April 2010. Neither Robert Downey Jr. nor I were consulted about this, and we're both concerned about how realistic the date is in light of the fact we have no script, story, or even writers hired yet.
Oh, well, that's the issue.
This genre... Oh, I'm sorry. What did you think? You think they had everything is in place?
Well, to make a movie, if you have a script already, it shouldn't take 2 years.
Well, no! Well,
I wasn't thinking.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
So add two
thank
months.
You.
So a year and two
all right.
months
okay.
is how long it should
two
take.
2 months to write it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Now, where the heck was I? This genre of movie is best when it's done thoughtfully and with plenty of preparation. We might be better to follow the Batman Begins Dark Knight / X-Men X2 3-year release pattern than scramble for a date. It's difficult because there are no Marvel 2009 releases and they need product, but I also think we owe it to the fans to have a great version of Iron Man 2, and at this point we would have less time to make it than we did for the first one.
Listen, mm-hmm. I put all creative, it's like I hand over design and control to Jon Favreau.
Okay.
I think that when he is in charge of a situation, he does a very good job. Did he do Daredevil?
No, he was just
in Daredevil.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that would be a strike against him, by the
no,
way, if
wouldn't.
He had directed it. By
no,
the way.
It wouldn't.
Yes, it would.
No, it wouldn't, because I liked Daredevil as well.
You and maybe Jon Favreau's mom.
Maybe you can be Daredevil on the Chinese theater walk.
I can hang. Yeah, I can hang out with Wonder Woman.
You can hang out with Wonder Woman.
I would love to hang out with Wonder Woman.
And then you can tell jokes together.
Oh, I would love to tell jokes with Wonder Woman. She's so pretty. But here's the thing, Jess. You would think that Marvel would be pushing forward and getting everybody locked up, right, for the Iron Man 2. However, it's been 5 weeks, according to Favreau.
Weeks. No way.
No. Hey, look, 5 weeks since it came out. Actually, now it's six, but when Favreau posted this, 5 weeks. And the only phone call he got from his reps from Marvel was, he got one. And it was like, hey, it's a success. now I'm reading that sources from inside Marvel Studios, because, you know, now Marvel's in charge of their own destiny. They're making their own films, you know, for all of the characters that they have left. Not Spider-Man, which is already, you know, licensed by Sony, but all the ones that that are going to be coming out from now forward, all of the new characters. Then
is Iron Man Marvel?
Yeah, Iron Man is Marvel. But, you know.
So Marvel is its own studio.
They are now their own studio.
Are they affiliated with anybody at all?
Like Paramount or anyone like that? No, not necessarily, because I believe Universal is doing The Incredible Hulk, and Paramount released Iron Man. So Marvel's now kind of doing whatever they want.
Oh, so they make their movies, and then they get someone to
distribute it.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, from inside the Marvel Studios, however, is word that they're saying, you know what, Jon Favreau, wow, great job. Great job, Jon. But maybe we're going to find somebody new, huh? Maybe we don't need you.
Because, Jon Favreau?
Yeah, because they're thinking, hey, they paid him, I think, $4 million to direct. And he's thinking, naturally, that he would get some kind of a raise after it made $1 billion, don't you think?
Yes, but he should only get the 4% raise.
Well, okay, that's fine. Well, apparently the word is that Marvel intends to lowball him because they don't want to pay him. And that they figure, you know what, we can get anybody to direct this.
No, they are wrong.
We can go ahead and just, you know, hey, look, I'll tell you what. Did you like all those Bourne Identity films?
Yeah.
Well, Doug Liman did the first one, Paul Greengrass did the other two. Did you notice the difference?
No, I didn't.
Well, then.
But I don't think that that's the case. I mean, how about the Harry Potter stuff? Did you notice differences with...
When Chris Columbus directed the first two, and then I think it was Alfonso Cuarón who did the third one, significant difference. You can't tell the differences between when you watch anyone who's done it since those first two.
Well, what do you think? Is it better?
Oh, it's better.
Oh,
it's infinitely better.
Really? Do you think Christopher Columbus is a bad movie?
Well, I don't think he did a good job on the two that he did. How about that? Well, look, Chris Columbus is fine if we're doing Home Alone or we're doing 9 months. Hey, go ahead, Chris. Knock yourself out. Or if you do, he did Mrs. Doubtfire, didn't he? God, I hate that movie.
Oh, that movie was bad.
I hate that. How did that movie make $200 million, by the way? $200 million of 1993 dollars, by the way. I'm just curious.
You're boring me because you're making me yawn.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it. Jessica, the show that we've got a show on our DVR that I want to watch. It's called Swingtown. It involves, well, you know, 1970s and a little bit of swinging. You know what I'm saying?
You're kidding.
Like, oh.
When you say Swingtown, I just automatically think of, like, the swinging 20s.
That's the roaring 20s.
Damn!
You think of the 40s.
I think of the swinging
40s. Like Glenn Miller.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yes. No. Miller. Huh, Glenn Miller? He's a band leader? Yeah. Wow, that was not good. Anyway, this show, and I'm amazed that a show like that gets on the air on CBS, and they're showing it at like 9 o'clock, too.
For young eyes to
see. And you've got like 70s people in bad 70s hairdos, and they're all, you know, hey, let's have a key party. You know, it's that kind of show, which, by the way, we have to watch that because I can't wait to see some 70s swinging going on. Not surprisingly, the Parents Television Council, which is run by a guy named Brent Bozell, he seems like a fun guy, he's gone ahead and he's, you know, making the rounds of complaining to the FCC about indecent television programming, and now he wants CBS to, like, either take it off the air or air it later or do something else. They're asking all CBS affiliates to consider preempting it or to show it late.
You know what? I have no qualms with showing shows like that late. I don't. I hate to be all PC, left-winged, type. But I think that the kids shouldn't. And I know it's up to the parents to, like, not let them watch stuff. But if they've got a TV in the room or if they're over a friend's house, there's not so much controlling you can have. But a lot of kids do have a bedtime that's, like, after 10 or so. So I don't have any qualms with showing, you know, like, Nip Tuck after 10 o'clock where they're actually saying the word dick and stuff. Holy
crap. Yeah, but that's cable. It's different.
Yeah, but it's not really different. I mean, cable, I know you've said this before, but unless it's, like, an HBO thing, it's pretty much basic cable. To me.
Well, you know what? It is funny because the networks do have a bigger share of the audience, but that share is dwindling so much all the time. Eventually, it's all going to be on even ground. So That argument eventually won't hold any water, even though I just made it.
Yes, you did. Wow, I'm yawny today.
What's that all about?
I'm tired. I work very hard.
All right. Well, everybody out there, if you've been working real hard, I've got good news for you. Coming up next is another exciting edition of the live test show with my pal,
Andrew Burke,
who will no doubt deliver another stunning hour of exciting entertainment. After that, Tyler Hollywood, and then Dr. Rock. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll talk about some movies that are coming out on Friday, a little Fantasy Moguls, a little bit of love. Say goodnight, Jessica.
Good night, Jessica.
Yamma, 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 yamma. Whoopee-doo, Scooby-Doo, and gobbledygook.